This is Luxury.
And Diallo,
the hosts of One Song. Shout out to U.S. Soy and the United Soybean Board for supporting this podcast and for giving our recording studio a sustainable makeover.
Just like music is made of notes and beats, each eco-friendly choice we make contributes a single note that completes the overall melody. That's why Heartbeat and U.S. Soy are teaming up to lead the discussion around greening Hollywood. We're talking slashing the carbon footprint of production with soy-based alternatives like soy-based inks for printing scripts, soy foam for soundproofing studios, and even biodiesel generators to power sets.
To see our podcast studio transformation, watch the Tears for Fears episode of One Song and see behind-the-scenes clips of how we pulled the whole look together. It's all on @HeartbeatAudio on YouTube, and the link is in our show notes.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And now, join Kevin Hart as he dives into the minds of some of the world's funniest comedians. This is Comedy Goldmines with Kevin Hart.
Welcome, world. Welcome to an all-new episode of Comedy Goldmines, where we do what? That's right, get inside the minds of amazing comedians. And oh my God, what amazing minds they are. And listen, comedians come in different shapes, forms, sizes, man. It's not always about the stage. Sometimes it's just about the craft of comedy in general. Some people get it. Some people get it at a very high level, man. And some people are considered legends in this game. And by legends, I mean people who are applauded, who are talked about, who are celebrated for doing their just due in comedy. Today, I stand on this. I stand on what I'm about to say, goddammit. I say it from a soapbox. I say it from a fucking
pedestal. Stand on it. Stand on it.
Today, I'm talking to a fucking legend. A legend, ladies and gentlemen. And by a legend, I do mean a legend. We're talking about SNL's. Is there a Hall of Fame for Saturday Night Live? If there is, there's only, I don't know, you probably got about 20, maybe 20 like real Hall of Famers, like real ones that will be on that list of Hall of Fame with SNL. And Kenan Thompson is by far one of the pitchers, posters that will be in the Hall of Fame. He's here on Comedy Goldmines. Kenan, what's going on with you, man?
Man, that's crazy. I appreciate that, man. You know what I mean? But it's crazy to think about, man, you know, because we come from very humble beginnings. You know what I'm saying? Like Philly guy, Atlanta guy, you know what I'm saying? And you never really imagine anybody's Hall of Fame outside of athletics. You know what I'm saying? So like doing it like on television is just crazy.
Here's the crazy part. Okay, let's just step outside of SNL for a second. Let's step outside in the world of entertainment, movies, television, all that you've done. And that resume is long. The crazy thing about you is the conversation attached to your name of being a good guy. That mirrors and matches your level of success. There is nobody in entertainment that has come across Kenan Thompson that hasn't said, I love fucking Kenan. Oh my God, Kenan, man. That's a Kenan, a good dude. I go on there, man. Kenan's a great fuck. That's all you hear. You don't hear shit else.
Yeah.
Kenan's a great dude. You have maintained a high level of good energy, good personality, charisma, charm throughout your career, man, that has made you one of the most loved people in entertainment. Do you realize that?
I do. I think I'm about to start going the other way now. You know what I'm saying? I already did that. I did that. Now I'm about to start fucking it up out here. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired. I'm going AWOL. I'm hopping over to why I ain't coming back.
I'm going.
You know, like my mama's always in the back of my mind. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a lot of the your manners will get you further than, you know, the disrespect will or the attitude will, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So I've always just been a mellow fellow because a lot of the time I leave work at work, you know what I mean? It's not a lot of personal relationships outside of, you know, the professional business that a lot of people can, you know, not get hurt by, you know what I'm saying? Just by, you know, people getting distant, not necessarily on purpose, but it just happens, you know what I'm saying? Like you work closely with somebody and then they're off in another, you know, pattern of work where they might be on the other side of the world for the next 10 years and y'all don't really have, you know, mm-hmm. what you had, and it's not on purpose or anything like that. But those kinds of things will have you, you know, really just on a surface level kind of participation, basically. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, if I'm on the surface level, you know, my surface might as well be chill. You know what I mean? Having a good time. And I also am aware of the blessings and, you know, having a front row seat of it all and, you know, having a fucking shorthand conversation with my brother. Like, Kevin Hart hit my phone yesterday, you know what I'm saying, to make sure that we was on schedule to mm-hmm. get on this, you know, podcast that he's doing, that he called me for and all that kind of shit. Like, those things is not, you know, your normal conversations amongst regular people. So I realize, you know, the position that I'm in, and I'm highly grateful, you know what I'm saying? Like, I understand the blessed and highly favored, you know, statements and things and cultural things that people say, because I'm pretty much living it, man. Like,
it shows.
Yeah.
How many years in the business now?
Shit. I mean, Mighty Ducks was when I was 15, so I'm 44 now, so 29, I guess. What is God, that? What's that math? I'm bad at that. Come on now.
Don't do that to me.
It's a four above the five. So what's that?
I mean, shit, you see 15.
Then,
all right, so you say 15, 25, 35.
Let's call it
30.
You go
35.
Call it 30.
Put that in. Or 29, you know, 29, 30, 28,
20,
20, 20, 26, 20.
It is a lot.
Look, at the end of the day, as long as we,
yeah,
it's a lot. That's what we're saying. It's a lot.
Yeah, man. I mean, I have a real interesting approach to how to answer the question of how do I get into business when people ask me. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I don't know. Everybody's path is kind of different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need to definitely pick an angle and run in that direction hard for a while, it seems like. You know what I'm saying? Because
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
how long were you doing stand-up before Soul Plane? And then how long was it in between Soul Plane and something that, like, really majorly, like, hit?
That really took off.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's two levels.
Right.
There's your entry level, and in that entry level, that's the world of trying to gain some understanding of which way to drive, how fast to drive on this road, because nobody really tells right. you. And then that road takes you to what is deemed to be the place of success. And then that road there picks up, and that road's got all these curves, fucking peaks, hills, valleys, but it seems to be going up. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think my road before the success, you know, you're talking about, I don't know, man, probably 12 years. I was 18 when I started doing stand-up. I'm fucking 43, so you know the, I mean, yeah, we know the
let's
math.
Let's do the math, right? Real quick. We can
let's
do it.
Let's do it. Okay, let's just go ahead.
A carry of a seven got, from-
Put that.
Yeah.
Put the 20,
so,
so we got
43
the
is 38. Three. I hear what you're saying.
Thank you. Yeah, you got it. We don't need to break
it. You
know
what I'm saying?
You get it.
You get what it. Yeah. You get what it is.
You get it.
Who are you looking for?
I mean, it's. No, I heard my door. Oh, okay. I turned around. I thought it was going down. Look.
Wait a minute.
I thought something was going down. Hey, you just see somebody hit me up on the podcast. What? All you can do is, oh no,
Cam. Hey. Oh shit, Cam. Y'all seeing this? What? Y'all got Cam out here by himself.
Hey, you better cut the shit. Cut the shit. Better, he started yelling.
You
know,
folks, y'all better cut the shit.
Y'all don't want me to come out there. Don't make me come out there.
I was watching About last night. That was a fucking incredible
run. Regina Hall.
Who?
Regina Hall.
Oh,
man.
I forget about it. Regina, Joy, Mike. Y'all always on God. One. That whole thing. Y'all was on one. Who wrote that?
It
seemed like mostly you.
I did a lot of improv. Right. They let me go. Who the fuck wrote About Last Night? I know we had a writer director because mm-hmm. it was the remake and they wanted to go with the raunchier version of the remake. And I'm going to get producers, Google that. Google writer for About Last Night and also director. I do know it was Screen Gems. That was in a crazy Clint Culpepper days.
Uh-huh. Culpepper was a cowboy.
Yeah. One of the real
ones. Culpepper. Yeah.
One of the real ones. People don't know that that Keenan and I, we've worked together a lot. Keenan and I did a movie together, man. We did a fucking movie together.
Yeah.
Keenan, wait, I'm going to tell you the movie that you did that really, really fucking like blew me away. And you're going to laugh, but I think this is one of the funniest things I've ever seen you in. Amazing. Love don't cost a thing.
Absolutely.
Listen to me. Listen to me.
It's real Sean John.
Listen to our listeners. I don't know if you have seen Love Don't Cost a Thing. It's a Nick Cannon, Christina Milian movie. Keenan plays one of Nick's best friends. When I tell you, and I want to go on record with this again, one of the best comedy performances from a wingman that you will ever see in a movie.
Ever.
When you go to pound the niggas. What up, y'all?
All right now. Come on, don't leave it up there like that. That's always the best character to play.
Hey, man.
The guy that nobody wants to high five.
That here nobody.
Yeah.
I can say for a fact, man, one of the best performances that you'll ever see. Another thing, we gotta just talk about this. So I used to have a joke, man. I just have a joke that there was only Chris Rock and I was talking about tonight. We used to say, you know, Nickelodeon is a place where, you know, as a black man, you could either get in there, you can make it out, or they could keep you in a Nickelodeon blender. Like, there's only like one black guy that really made it out of Nickelodeon. He'll never tell us what happened in there. And we go, Kenan Thompson is the only black man to make it out. And he never tell you what they do back there. Because every other black guy came out, they came out quirky. They came out like, whoa! Like, there's a thing that happens.
they all come out like, who got him? Damn, word.
Damn. You want to know how Keenan, how did he keep it? How did Keenan keep it? You didn't.
It becomes, you know about crutches.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It becomes a crutch. Like, that tone works very well there. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you're not allowed to go into other territories of things. So you rely on, you know, the goofy of it all to get things across, because that's, you know, it's like bowling a strike, you know, as soon as you hit or you see, you know, the angle with the spin, you know, it's about to be a strike type thing. So you use a bunch of colors and weird fucking voices and shit like that. But I don't know, man. I never really liked crutches. You know what I'm saying? I like to try to like make it hard on yourself, because that's where you find like the good shit, you know?
That's what you do well. What you do extremely well is you ground comedy. Mm. You ground it, like, you know, on sketches. You name the sketches, you name the TV roles, the movie roles, like you ground these performances, and you're able to find so much more leg room, you know, when you start at that bottom of, well, believe me first, mm-hmm. believe that I'm here. No matter how crazy the idea is that we're doing, I'm going to make you believe that I'm here. And working with you and fucking just watching you, you know, it's actually one thing that I can be honest, man, I learned from you. And just that world of like, you know, let's start off small, and then you grow. You're a guy that's done it consistently well.
This is Luxury.
And Diallo.
The hosts of One Song. Shout out to U.S. Soy and the United Soybean Board for supporting this podcast and for giving our recording studio a sustainable makeover.
Just like music is made of notes and beats, each eco-friendly choice we make contributes a single note that completes the overall melody. That's why Heartbeat and U.S. Soy are teaming up to lead the discussion around greening Hollywood. We're talking slashing the carbon footprint of production with soy-based alternatives like soy-based inks for printing scripts, soy foam for soundproofing studios, and even biodiesel generators to power sets.
To see our podcast studio transformation, watch the Tears for Fears episode of One Song and see behind-the-scenes clips of how we pulled the whole look together. It's all on @HeartbeatAudio on YouTube, and the link is in our show notes.
Live life at your pace. Click the banner or go to visitwilliamsburg.com to discover how. Because here in Williamsburg, life moves at one pace, yours. Scramble through our world-class golf courses or shop your way through the square. Be one with nature as you hike or bike through our parks and trails, or hunker down at one of our breweries. And when it's time to eat, be sure to bite into our eclectic food scene. It's all waiting for you in Williamsburg. Book your trip today and live life at your pace.
Have you ever thought to do the one man show? Have you ever thought to do the space of, let me put on this thing that I can do to show all the characters, all the things that I have in me and have embodied over the course of time?
I have. I mean, I think my favorite version of that was like when Will Ferrell did You're Welcome America and he was doing his George Bush thing on Broadway, because that was like one of his strongest characters that he could stretch probably for 2 days. You know what I'm saying? He could just live in it. And everything he said was funny, but it was also so well researched that it was mind blowing. You know what I mean? That he was just throwing out all these facts and like stats and shit, like throughout delivering like insanely amounts of belly laughs. You know what I'm saying? At the same time, like when he would do shit, like, you know, we're talking about like Liquid Muff and all that whole run of like describing how much Muff was in the room or some shit. That little shit, you know, and having that delivery vehicle for big laughs, man, is, you know, important. So I cherish trying to find what that is. You know what I'm saying? Since I didn't come up doing stand-up, I'm still trying to figure out what it is. But yeah, I can't wait to have, you know, a 6 month like free Broadway run of like my thing.
That's what I see, man. I see it for you. And, you know, I don't know. I don't have the answer as to what it is, but Keenan, like you, it's like the world of what John Leguizamo used to do, right? Remember those one man shows? It's like that world has kind of, it's departed. Like there is no real, I think there was one woman who did a comedy special that was like one woman show-ish more than stand-up. I forgot her name, but that presentation of talent, character-driven story, the big story, but that story is filled with all of the characters, all of the performances wrapped up in one. You know, there's not many that can pull something like that off. And I'm not talking about merging the conversation of stand-up comic into the one-man show. Like these, they're two very different and specific things. Like you are just, man, I just see you. I see you destroying Broadway. I see you being the conversation of comedy and the conversation of uplifting that thing that we forgot existed. There's not a lot of people that can do it, man.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, where Colin Quinn is teetering, you know what I'm saying? Teetering on teaching and doing comedy. And I mean, Dave does it too. Like Dave is like preaching and doing comedy.
And it's happening in different tiers within the craft.
And by, can I just break down? Hold on. Let's get this producer thing, because I see it in the chat. All right. Who wrote it? Leslie
Pink. Leslie Helen wrote it, and Steve Pink directed. Oh,
nice. Shout out to them.
Steve Pink also worked on the draft as well, though. I know that he worked on the writing as well.
Shout out.
They were talking about last night for our listeners.
Thanks. Shout out to them. But can I break down how dope Madison Square Garden was just for a second?
Oh, my God.
As a fan. So I'm there in the audience waiting. We get there early, you know what I'm saying, because we like, I want to see everybody. Like, I heard there's a couple of openers and a surprise guest or whatever, and then y'all two. And, you know, everybody wants to see, you know, Chris, you know what I'm saying, since he's been going through what he's been going through. And then we know, like, the fact that y'all linked up is like, oh, shit, it's two giants in the building. Like, what an honor it is to see two giants fuck with each other like that. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of motherfuckers just be like, I'm headlining, you headlining, and then we got our separate shit. But y'all was like, oh, shit, let's do this as brothers. I was all there for it.
All right, listeners, Keenan's talking about the performance at Madison Square Garden with Chris Rock and myself.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil your story, so I'll let you continue with where you're going.
Bruh, it happens, so I can go on and tell a spoiler alert if you don't know. But
yes,
we get there, you know, right at like 8 o'clock, excited, you know what I'm saying? Wait for like an hour, and it's like, oh shit, I want, you know, is it complications? Are they fighting backstage? Like, what's going on? like at least some sort of like warm-up person, you know, should have come out by now, whatever. So I'm sitting, like, I didn't wait backstage or whatever, like in the little suite, if you will. I was like out in the seats, like I want to see it all. You know what I'm saying? Like, so like I'm watching the whole, because the lights is on. So I'm watching the whole stadium point at me and like wave. And I'm like, I'm waving back and shit. This is an hour it is. You know what I'm saying? Can I take it? I was like, you know, we chilling, whatever. Blah, blah, blah. I got my sunglasses on, so they don't really know who I'm looking at. And I'm just playing this whole, like, I see you, but I don't see you game for like an hour with everybody in Madison Square Garden. And then all of a sudden, like the screens, you know, the commercial on the tequila was playing. I'm like, man, these dudes get money. Look at this. I'm so proud of these dudes. This dude like out here chopping cactuses and shit. Like, this is fantastic. So then the digital screen start like moving, you know what I'm saying? With like a presentation look, I was like, all right, it's show, you know, lights go down. It's like, okay, it's you know, showtime of some sort. We ain't know if it was going to be anybody, you know, overly special or anything. We just ready for some show after like, you know, waiting for an hour. Then that motherfucking C came up.
Oh my God.
And within 4 seconds, that motherfucker was trotting up them steps on stage. And that
looked
motherfucker
like a fucking, it looked like just, a bat symbol. It looks like bro, a bat symbol. Like bro, Batman putting a bat symbol in the air.
Dog.
Are you ready for this? Let me give you some insight. So we were holding for Dave. Dave playing.
Of course.
Dave playing. We like, Dave, where the fuck? What's going on? Dave, like, I'm coming, man. I'm coming, man. I told y'all I was going to be there. What the fuck?
Yeah.
We thought you was going to be here early. No, man. I just touched down. I'm playing. Dave is coming. So we're holding so we can get Dave in the building. He comes in the building. Me and Chris lose our shit backstage. We hype as hell. We in the back.
Fucking forget about it.
We like, okay, all right. It's go time. It's fucking go time. All right.
Yes.
Dave's like, all right, let's go. Y'all got the C, right? We say, yeah. We yell out, throw the C up now.
Wow.
They put the C up. And it's like a Sinatra-like song he attaches to it.
Yeah.
Keenan, it may have been one of the biggest interests I've ever seen attached to a comedy show.
Bro, it blew the entire garden up. I never seen no shit like that ever.
Insane.
On a fucking comedy show. With, I mean, not to just put it on black people, but this is black brotherhood. You know what I mean? This is a black show.
Yes. And the idea behind that, I mean, it's exactly what I'm doing now with you. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I hate that people have to die for people to go, man, I love that guy. Mm-hmm. Or man, I love that girl. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, I hate that we wait till death. Why not give the flowers now? Why not let your peers know that you appreciate their talent and craft? So, you know, the whole thing with Chris, it was like, Chris, like, dude, for us not to do something together would be ridiculous. Like, let's just co-headline a New York run. Let's just do an hour. It hasn't been done. Like, let's just do some dope shit. Chris is like, I'm fucking down.
Incredible.
And when I did it, I knew Dave would pop up at one. It would be between Garden and Barclays. And Dave was like, I'm coming. I got to get on the stage. I got to fuck with y'all. And that was the whole vision behind it. Like, I wanted us all to be on stage. But for Chris and, you know, what he was going through at the time, for us to come up and lift our brother up at that time, you know, and in a time of dark to show him that light, it all just made sense. It made sense. And it ended up being so much more than what we expected it to.
Bro, y'all was like invincible up there. So back to the actual time, the run of the time. So this motherfucker is crawling up the stairs. The garden is going crazy. Like, from everybody sitting down wondering what's going on to standing on their feet, losing their shit. You know what I mean? And this motherfucker proceeds to do like 20 minutes. I'm like, oh shit, all right, cool.
Lied to us too. Told us he said, I ain't really got nothing, man. Motherfucker had a tight 20. He had a tight 20.
Always. Always a tight 20. He went up there and killed it. We was like, wow, this we're witnessing history right now. We thought we was already witnessing history just coming to see y'all two. Then this motherfucker wants to blow it up like, damn. So then Chris comes up. Chris goes in for an hour and a half damn near. You know what I mean? Like, we went in.
He did an hour and 18 minutes.
Exactly. Went in. And everybody stood up for that, man. What? Going crazy for him before and when he finished. And then here comes this motherfucking rock star. Just when you think you've seen rock stars, bro, when your ass came out with that fucking bat, motherfucker, everybody knew like, oh yeah, like this is the Kevin Hart show. You know what I'm saying? Like, in case y'all fucking forgot. And then your ass went in for an hour and a half. Motherfuckers left there like they had been dancing all night. I saw it. They sweated out their fucking styles and shit. That shit was crazy.
It was truly my best night in stand-up.
It had to be incredible.
I could have imagined anything more. Like that, it was the best night in stand-up. And, you know, I can only hope that it sets a precedent for a lot of us in our culture to just celebrate one another, highlight one another, and find ways to make history together. We don't do it enough. We don't.
Man.
We don't do it enough.
We don't because, you know, the business and people's reps getting in between people and shit like that. But it takes brothers like you to set the example, man. Like, good news is that example has been set. So if you ain't trying to do some shit, you fronting.
This is a question. Yeah. I got a question for your ass. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is a heat seeker. If you could, right? Mm-hmm. If you could put together your all-star cast of SNL. Yes, they did was it the 40th or 50th anniversary? What was that? Was it the 50th?
The
40th anniversary.
Yeah.
Okay, they did the anniversary. That was great, right? Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Everybody knows there's so many amazing cast members that have touched the surface of SNL, went on to have careers. But if you could put your all-star cast together, and this all-star cast is only going to do 6 sketches, it's just an episode. Okay, the cast exists of 8 members, yourself included. You're not excluded. You can't go excluding me or not. Give me your other 7 cast members of all time on SNL that if you could say you want to get down with, you would get down with.
All right. Eddie.
1.
Sandler.
2.
Ferrell.
3.
Shit, man. I mean, fuck, man. Can I have 2 for this next one?
It depends on the 2. I may chop it down after I hear the names.
Because I want Aykroyd and I want Tracy Morgan. And then I'm going to get into the ladies.
No, you can have 1. You can only have 1.
I'm going with Tracy then.
Tracy. It's tough. Best.
And then Maya Gilder. Ooh. And how many is that?
You had 6. Yeah, 1 more.
I'm at 6. I'm in it too.
Yeah, in it too. So you got 1 more.
And 1 more. Wow, there's been a lot, man. That's tough. I mean, I got a special place in my heart for Cecily, man. I think she's just a fucking beast. I'm going with Cecily.
Oh, I'm not mad at that.
I think they all know how I feel about them.
I'm not mad at
them.
By the way, like, I'm not mad at that list.
I just have this special place for her mind. I think, like, she's one of the, like, most incredible, like, quick improvers, but just funniest in general kind of sense of humor people ever.
I am not mad at that list in any way, shape, or form. I think that you checked the box of a lot of versatility with that group, right? My list, and I thought about it, I've given it a lot of thought, you know, because of the success that has come after the show, it changes like what you think your list would be because of the creative that you could get from that 6, right? Like that all-star thing. Like I wish each cast member could pick their all-star cast and there's a special that could be just, you know, it's a thing. This all-star thing is only presented from said time to said time. And you would get such a different variety.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It's tough because you're picking all-stars from all-stars. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Yes. So, like, I would take them all, honestly. Like, anybody that's run the gauntlet of that place and had either fun with it or some success with it, they are an outputter. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't believe I had to leave off the Chris Farleys of the world or, you know, the Catans of the world and shit like that. Dana Carveys and the Myers and the, you know. But
I mean, when you're talking about this list, you have to.
Yeah, these are the people that I guess I would want to be around. I don't know.
What is your relationship with Lauren like, man? Because it seems that there's a high level of respect, loyalty, understanding. I mean, you've been able to step outside the show, do other things, come back to the show. There's never been a conflict of interest. There's never been a, you know, well, you can't do that in this. Like there's, right. you seem to have always positioned yourself in a space where you've just been able to be creative and tap into the boxes of what you want to do. Are you and Lauren extremely close and do you have the creative decisions that allow you to do that?
Yeah, I mean, we're as close as, you know, a boss and an employee can be, you know what I'm saying? Like I would consider him definitely one of my go-to mentors. Like if I got like a real issue, then like, yeah, I would hit him up because he's seen and, you know, been through all the shit that I'm probably ever could possibly be going through as well, just as a human being, you know what I mean? At the age that he's in and the connections he has. So like, yeah, he's always kind of there if you need him, kind of a presence, you know what I'm saying? And respect-wise, I have the utmost respect. I think a lot of our generation does that works on the show now. A lot of us were born after the start of it or whatever. So a lot of us are approaching it as fans, you know what I mean? And not necessarily what can it do for me type shit. Like, that's always the hope, but it's not that competitive spirit amongst each other. It's just about doing for the show. And then, you know, we cemented in stone now because like my star is right next to his on fucking Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? Like that shit is crazy. So huge.
So huge, man. Such a big moment for you.
I think it's a real reflection of of how our relationship is. He's kind of just there. He's over my shoulder. Like if I need him or if I need to run something by him, or if he's, you know, looking over my shoulder and doesn't approve of something or whatever, or thinks something is lame, like he'll let you know, you know what I'm saying? And it's on you if you take it personally or like he's coming at you in a certain kind of way or whatever, I think. And that's how he approaches his relationship. I think he gauges how you respond to like certain harshnesses, if you will. Because sometimes he'll be like, right before you go out to do your most stressful shit on the show, he'll be like, you know, this should be good, right? And you'll be like, oh shit, is it, has it not been good up to this point? Is it, you know what I'm saying?
Oh God, his ass. God,
I thought you said, told me this is ass. 6 days worth. I've been practicing this shit, I've been laughing.
This is Luxury.
And Diallo.
The hosts of One Song. And we'd like to thank the United Soybean Board for the sustainable makeover of our podcast studio and for sparking discussions on greener Hollywood production. Check out the Tears for Fears episode of One Song and see behind-the-scenes clips of how they pulled the whole look together. It's all on at Heartbeat Audio on YouTube, and the link is in our show notes.
I would tell you the story about Lauren and me with the monologue. We were going back and forth about a monologue. So Lauren wanted me to do stand-up for my monologue. I was like, Lauren, I'm not doing none of my jokes.
Right.
I'm not burning my jokes on SNL. I'm going to tell a story. And in that story, I put some punchlines in it, but I'm not doing my stand-up. He's like, Okay. So we do like, you know, the rehearsals or whatever. And, you know, when we're doing like the run through the table, I'm never doing the story.
Right.
I'm like, you know, we're just saying like Kevin's monologue is whatever, right, but right. I never do it. Right. So at the run through, I do it. And like, the story falls flat. It's like,
he's like, oh shit, I didn't need jokes.
Yeah. Listen, the story was ass. Keenan.
What was the story?
Oh God, it was so bad. It was like a story about me. I was kind of like come up with the like see New York. Let me tell you why, you know, my time in New York. It's like one of those, like when I come to the city, it's always crazy for me. You know, those things. So I get done and like we do the full run through. And I remember I'm like getting dressed on one of them. I just hear popcorn behind me. I hear somebody.
So how'd that go?
Yeah. I turn around, Lauren's standing behind me. So are you gonna keep that?
Yeah.
I said, no, I'm gonna probably do some jokes, man. I'll probably throw some jokes in here.
You know what? I thought about it. I mean, I thought about it. Not that you had to make me think. I personally,
you know, don't think you have shit to do with it.
You have nothing to do.
Because I'm a creator.
Right.
All right. I'm a creator.
You understand me?
I just figured
I will adjust and adapt. Yeah.
Yeah. You back the fuck up because you're too close. Back your ass up. Motherfucking stare me dead in the eye after a fresh story bombing.
So, you gonna keep that?
You gonna change it?
Hey, listen, I heard what it did. You ain't got to do that. I was there. I was listening. I heard exactly what it did. So, yeah, I'm gonna adjust it.
Hey, true story. Took a hot smashy bomb into one of the stories. But I can say
but
that.
But that's a step up moment. You know what I'm saying? That's a moment where you can either collapse and start pointing fingers, or you can like really go to bat and do what needs to be done type shit, right?
But the process in SNL, if you embrace it correctly, you're going to have a good time, right? Like even if the sketches aren't to the best of your liking, if you embrace it, it's never going to be bad for you. It's about if you don't embrace it or you got some pushback and you feel like and you're going in everything with a reservation. If you say, fuck it, balls to the walls, I'm a love the process with y'all and I'm going to give it all 100%. I've always been that talent. I've always been the guy to come there and whatever y'all throw at me, I'm going to give it 1,000%. So y'all know that Kev didn't tank nobody's shit. I'm giving everybody opportunity.
1,000%. I mean, but you would expect that from you because you do that a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like you big energy in a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? Because I was watching fucking the End of Days. What's the shit with Seth Rogen and them?
The End.
Yeah, The End.
Yeah.
Fucking hilarious. Just you and Jason Segel. Just you laughing at Jason Segel. You know what I mean? Like that's only Kevin doing that. You know what I mean? Like that shit wasn't that funny what he was saying. But you wanted to respond to it like that. Like, that's what makes us laugh at you and love your talent and shit like that.
Yeah.
But people should pay attention to like the Daniel Craigs and the people that you don't expect it from. You know what I'm saying? Because that motherfucker came in there and was willing to do anything. And when I tell you, we had him up at 8 o'clock in the morning doing that Lion King, the Nas upon ya. He was trying to like listen to that shit and figure out the words and how to do it. And then like, if he could do it in his register and blowing his voice out, and like he was giving it several takes worth, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. On a Friday morning, like, bro, like that kind of participation, he had a great show every time.
Who else blew you away? Give me some of the other guests that blew you the fuck away.
Lizzo destroyed it. Destroyed it.
Lizzo was very good.
Destroyed it. Like blew me away. It's usually the actors that kind of come through and like, what's her name? The lady from she plays fucking, she was just capable of doing everything. All right, so this is a tough way to find out who this is. But in the opening scene of I Am Legend, she was the doctor on the news that talked about they found a cure for cancer.
Oh, okay. I got it. Yeah, I got it. I had a fucking mouse. I don't know who was the doctor of the news. What was that?
She was in this news clip. Right. On this tiny little screen.
I don't know.
So y'all got to do y'all research now.
Kev, remember I Am Legend? So remember that part?
She was incredible.
Remember the commercial? Yeah. In the commercial?
Right before the movie started. Right there, right. It's not really in the movie.
Emma Thompson.
Thank you.
There you go. And what producers we had.
She was incredible. She was just so versatile. Like she went from playing, you know, the clock mama in Beauty and the Beast to like, you know, a corporate lady. She was just all over the gambit, man.
Yeah, I remember y'all would throw characters at me and I would just be honest. Yeah, guys, I'm not going to be good at this, but I'm going to try it. Yeah, it's ain't here. Y'all want to exit? Yeah, I'll go ahead and do what I got.
Was it the first time you hosted when you locked in on that rapper at the end?
Oh my God.
The pew, pew, yeah, pew, pew,
pew, pew.
That was the first one?
Everybody, pew, pew. That one, that sketch, I'm going to tell you my three favorite sketches. When we on the corner and we talking about
the Brooklyn Boys. Boys is incredible.
Listen,
shout out to Michael Che.
Michael Che, me.
That was
Michael
early
che.
Michael Che.
We on the corner and we talking about the dog walking, but it's us speaking like real niggas. Oh my God. That one. Another try Michael Che. Like By the way. You ain't got no bitches. Shit. Oh, I ain't got no bitches.
Try to play me out like I ain't got no bitches.
Cool. I got bitches. How many bitches you got? Come on, I got a lot of bitches. I had a lot of bitches. Come on, you don't even know. Come on now. Yeah, come on now.
Holding all of them.
Holding all the dogs. Come on now.
Mugging.
Hey, if y'all Google this sketch, just Google Brooklyn Boys, Keenan, Kevin, Michael Che, we're on the corner. And we're speaking, we're speaking like some hood niggas on the corner talking. You would assume they were talking about drugs, women, et cetera. Yeah. But I got a dog walking business that I just started. Yeah. And the dogs were referring to as bitches. And it's a great reveal, but you have to watch it. I'll say that one.
Gentrification.
Yeah. In the Batman. That's another Che one. Oh, bro. My God. The Batman.
First of all, why was it the most cold day on the planet? Ever.
It was the fucking coldest day in New York.
Coldest day ever. And y'all motherfuckers was in tights. I was in a full cop uniform, so I was cold. You know what I'm saying?
What's this?
But
what's this?
That shit, man, Chris was killing that shit, man. Like
Chris is so unbelievable in the sketch when he's on the side.
First year.
He's like, what do you mean? He's earlier. Like, what do you mean? I sleep in his room. In a
hey, wait
bed,
a minute. Right? Wait a minute now. He ain't what he's trying to say. Your ass trying to explain shit the fucking best. The fucking best. And what is this? No. I need that. That's for my utility. That's my utility.
That's his imaginary desk. Helps him fight crime.
Wait a minute. Now, wait a second.
Shut up.
Oh, yeah. Captain Shadow and Cardinal. Yeah, that shit was fucking fantastic. Captain
don't
Shadow.
Don't you say another thing. Just shut up. I don't need to say anything. What is it?
You should know. You should know me. I'm one of the crime fighters. Well, now, wait a minute. Now.
Man,
fuck, man.
The shit with you, the guy with the horses that was scared of the horses.
Oh my God, Steve
you
Harvey,
clipping motherfucker that was.
That was Steve Harvey. I don't trust it. I think the point is, if you just embrace it, you'll have a good time. Like you see how absolutely. We laughing, remembering this shit. Oh my- imagine doing it.
But this is what we do. What I love about you too is we go into the bits. You know, there's the individuals that just understand the world of bit entry, where you don't have to introduce the bit. You go into the bit, you just stay in a bit for a little while, you get out the bit. You're one of the best.
You know, the main person I learned that from, JB fucking Smooth.
Oh my God.
Because that motherfucker will go into a bit head first and do the whole bit every time.
Shout out to JB Smooth. Shout out to JB fucking Smooth. JB came to the show. He said, "You motherfuckers, let me tell you something. Listen to me. Look at me. Come here. I need you to look at my motherfucking nose. Look at my motherfucking nose. So you see, this my motherfucking nose not gonna move. I'm so goddamn serious.
He keeps fishing until he hooks something on you, and then he like, I got you, and then he stays on that thing. Ooh, man, God bless
JB. Shout out to fucking JB. What is next? What else do you want at this point? You are a vet in the game.
I'm mirroring exactly what you're doing, my brother. Like, if I look at anybody that I want to be like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It is you. You know what I mean? Like, you are doing everything I want to do. Like, put a lot of motherfuckers to work in a whole bunch of different ways. You know what I'm saying? Like,
there it is.
It's a beautiful thing.
Honestly, you just summed it up so well, because that's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
It's at a certain point in our career, it's about the opportunities that we're bringing to other people.
Yeah.
And, you know, when that conversation does present itself as to what are you most happy about, it's going to shift. And it's not going to be about your personal accomplishments. It's going to be about the lives that you probably affected or had some significant change on, the people that you helped amplify and progress in the space of entertainment, man. I love you, not just as a person, as a talent, but just as a spirit, dude. Your energy has been nothing but fucking great over all the years that I've known you, man. And
likewise,
you're just one of the good guys. You're one of the guys that you love to see win. And when the announcement came of you getting your star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and then they announced it, they put it right next to Lauren, and it's like, fuck yeah. You know, it's one of the things, like, you goddamn right, man. Like, it's good to see our brother get his flowers. I love it when those announcements hit. I love it when, you know, they make the world aware of just what you mean to such an influential program. And the thing that acts as a staple of like next level in our business and has been, you're attached to that conversation, and it's well-deserved. And I hope the world continues to acknowledge you for as long as you choose to do it. And for whatever other decisions you're making in the world of producing, writing, directing, fucking acting, if it's the one man show, whatever it is, man, you're just a guy that should forever be supported, because you do it right. You do it right and you've done it right.
Listen here, young man, you do it right and you have done it right.
You understand what I'm saying? I mean, huh?
You
I don't need to right. tell you that.
You sit down, listen to me, you've done it right.
You understand what I'm saying now. What? See. This,
wait a second.
No. Hold on. Now, just listen. Listen to me. Sit down. Because I need you to hear this. Listen now. Listen to what I'm saying.
Put your hand down.
Don't listen. Don't do that. Okay. Don't just hear me out. Okay. Because when I tell you this, you're gonna go. You need to know it.
And I'm gonna get to it.
Don't rush me. Give me that juice over there before I take it. Let me take a sip.
Okay, here.
My mouth is dry.
There you go. There's a juice.
Once I take the sip. No, this ain't cold. Like, okay. Give me a cold.
All right. We got a cold. that kind of shit I can do for years. And that's what it's always been. It's been years of that already. You know what I'm saying? Which lets you know, like, it's not an effort, you know what I'm saying? And I can't get that kind of joy in an effort situation as far as like friendship is concerned. So I appreciate you, man. I really do.
It's secondhand nature. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, my brother has a show that he's hosting. And guess what? That show is called the Emmys. It's not just any show. It's a big show, man. Yeah. It's September 12th. It will be on NBC. And rightfully so, once again, man. Every time I see him attached to anything, it's not a shock. It's one where I go, you goddamn right. Well deserved. Thank you, man. Good guys in our business. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenan Thompson. This is Comedy Gold Mines, where we do what? get inside the minds of amazing comedians. And oh my God, what an amazing mind it was today. Brother, I love you. I appreciate you. I'm here if you ever need me. And I mean that.
You already know, man. I will be calling you probably tomorrow for some shit.
Tomorrow. Yeah, okay. Kev, with that being said, hey, I'm going to send you.
You remember what you said yesterday, right?
You got to look. Just look at what I sent you. Right. It's a statement.
Just take a look.
They talking about it.
While you take a look. Yeah.
But okay.
Just, you know, look in there and see what you're thinking.
God, just tell me what you think.
God damn, I got a show to do tonight. I know, just real quick, if you don't mind.
Real quick. I get just look at the give me tell oh, me what you think of.
Can I ask you, do you have a pet peeve for anything that might throw off your mindset right before you go on stage, or does it not matter?
Nothing matters.
It doesn't matter.
It's the most comfortable. Dude, I wish you would have told me that you were coming to the Garden so you could have came backstage and seen how loose of an environment it was.
Yeah.
Like it's such a ridiculous environment. Everybody's got a room with their setting in it. Chris is probably the most calm. Right. Chris is like, he needs quiet. There's like some soft music. Chris got candles. Yeah. My shit looked like Project X. It's just kids running here, back there, friends. Yeah, people drinking shots,
you know,
playing cards, people shoot dice.
What are we doing? A cypher?
Dave shit.
We got a cypher going?
Dave shit is full of smoke. It's just three completely different environments, but then we all go in one room together right before, right after, man. So,
are you going to put it out?
Me and Chris did a documentary to cover that week, that night, everything. And, you know, now I'm just talking to them about, you know, I want to do something bigger. So we're having conversations.
Yeah,
we're having conversations now.
Keep going. My whole thing with I always wanted Eddie to produce more things outside of Eddie. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because he was the original one with the widest reach.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And he could have put Steve Harvey and, you know, the whole Kings of Comedy movement into a TV show or a movie or something that rippled past just the movie type thing or whatever. So, yeah, keep that mindset, man, because that's what I want to see, man. Just everybody keep flexing.
I promise you, you will. We are not done. We are nowhere near done. And neither are you. The world is going to get more doses, heavier doses. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's Comedy Gold Mines. Kenny Thompson, thank you again, brother. I love you.
Comedy Gold Mines is a Sirius XM and LOL audio production. Executive produced by Kevin Hart, Ty Randolph, and Eric Weil. With Tastemakers Media, Emil Garner, and Ian McDonald.
Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert, and I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
So what do people get when they listen to The Late Show Pod Show? Let's sell this thing.
The extended moments, for sure, because we run out of time for broadcast, but we have plenty of time on the podcast.
It's kind of like being a live audience member of the show because you get things that no one else hears. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
Live life at your pace. Click the banner or go to visitwilliamsburg.com to discover how. Because here in Williamsburg, life moves at one pace. Yours. Visit a live archaeological dig site on the very grounds where America began. Or walk the fields where our country was won. Live like a colonial by day or track 18th century ghosts by night. For all the history to be found here, there's plenty more to make for yourself. It's all waiting for you in Williamsburg. Book your trip today and live life at your pace.